Yo, DJ L Spade, Commonage Podcast. Just a man doing the best he can with what he got. And yo, I'm very reluctant to talk about this in mixed company. And I'm really not trying to make this a black episode. But recently, Stacey Dash, the actress from Clueless, and also like every black guy in the 90s crush, has come out as saying that she's against Donald Trump. In a exclusive interview with Daily Mail, she says, "That's not who I am anymore." Actress and former Fox News pundit Stacey Dash apologizes for her offensive comments as she turns on Donald Trump, quits politics, and blames the network for typecasting her as an angry black woman. Nah, Stacey, I think you knew what you was doing. You was looking for a quick come up from the conservative wing. And yo, this was the thing with black people, right? Like, black conservatives are not a rarity in the black community. Case in point, my parents are black conservatives. So, like, we're used to black conservatives. And a lot of people, like, shoot at black people like, y'all not welcoming to people who are not liberals. Not the case whatsoever. What the black community in general really hates is when we think you're not being authentic. Because, once again, like, Larry Elders, I believe that guy. That guy's about that conservative life. Candace Owens, have no damn idea she believes anything she's saying. None whatsoever. But, she knows that people will pay to hear her spout out the stuff she spouts out. Like, yo, like, white folks will pay her. That's how she got that PragerU deal. Because there's a whole cottage industry built on having black people say what they think their white audience wants to hear. Y'all get that? Okay, I'm not trying to like come off racial on this, but okay, here's the thing, right? A lot of black people have realized that white folks will pay good money to see you tap dance. They will. Because, all right, think about it like this. To Stacey Dash's point, they painted her as the angry black woman, right? When have you ever seen a black conservative go on all these conservative networks and talk about policy? They never get the black person to talk about policy. It's always some social issue, like Diamond and Silk. If you don't know who they are these two black women, supposedly conservatives, but they never talk about policy. They just come on there, shuck and jive, and do like the stereotypical tropes, like roll their necks and snap their fingers and smack when they're talking on the phone and go, yeah, sister girl, that's right. That type of ish. And because that's what they're there for. They're to entertain. And that was Stacey Dash. Like, look, man, it seems like Stacey Dash is having buyer's remorse at this point, dude. Because, like, that was the role you was hired for. So, if you're a conservative network and you're trying to differentiate yourself from, like, all the liberal black people saying, hey, there's a racial problem or the social construct of America is bad, then you're going to have to find somebody who agrees that it's not. And there enters your Stacey Dashes in black commentary. Like, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And, yo, there's no such thing as white supremacy, and nobody's discriminated on black people. Education is blah, 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 it's a key. That's usually what they have black people on conservative networks for. And, like, yo, the black community as a whole realizes this. So when we see people, like, look, come on, dog, like, conservative news has really pivoted towards like the exception and not like the norm. So you have 75 black people saying, yo, man, like, discrimination exists. Things are hard out here. What they do is they find like, yo, five black people to say, no, it's not. Everything's good. And they lean towards that without like looking at the whole picture. And that's what generally happens in conservative news. So my question to Stacey Dash is, what the hell you think you was there for? Like, seriously. And after all this, I'm pretty sure Black America will welcome Stacey Dash right back into the fold. Because Black folks are some of the most forgivingest people in the damn world. So you may be good, Stacey Dash. However, we got to deal with some of the comments you made. She said some real, real damaging things on Fox News. And this apology doesn't just clean that up. Just because you see the error of your ways now, I need you to put in some work. Because a lot of the stuff you said was just really damaging to Black people. For example, we have to make up our minds. Either we want to have segregation or integration. If we don't want segregation, then we need to get rid of channels like BET, the BET Awards, and the NAACP Image Awards, where you're only awarded if you're Black. If it's the other way around, we'll be up in arms. It's a double standard. Just like there shouldn't be a Black History Month. You know, we're Americans, period. That's it. Yo, first, many white people have won the BET Music Awards and other awards in BET. So that's not a thing. Like, seriously. Also, the NAACP was founded by two white people along with W.E.B. Du Bois and I forgot the other lady. But yeah. So white folks was also involved with the NAACP. Okay. So that's a false equivalency, right? Also, there's a reason why BET was made, right? Like, nobody wants to talk about the exclusion of Black people. And if you think that we've all become so inclusive to the point we don't need BET, make that argument. And yo, what I really hate about this is BET damn near made Stacey Dash career, dog. Like, she was in every rapper's music video. She was on these BET made-for-TV movies. But now you're going to dog BET, man. There probably wouldn't be no damn Stacey Dash if it wasn't no damn BET. And you want to talk about Black History Month, bro. Name a majority of white people you know that celebrate Black History Month. And that's my problem with Black History Month. Like, yo, white folks don't celebrate it. You know? But you need to make it more inclusive and get white people to celebrate it. If you're going to make the argument we don't need it. That's the argument that we do need it. Because white folks don't celebrate it. Like, when are white people going to embrace this? It's their history. Once again, not trying to make this a blackity-black-black episode, but Black folks do this all the damn time, right? Like, when Black folks are feeling themselves and they have a little stature amongst the whites, they kind of thumb their nose and turn their back on the Black community as a whole. And then they get in trouble, or the money starts slowing up, then they run right back to the Black community. So a lot of examples of this. The most prominent example being OJ. I'm not Black, I'm OJ. Until you got caught for murdering your wife. And then all of a sudden you're Black. The Black community has to prop me up. Which, look, I don't know anybody in my adult life that think OJ didn't do it. Like, even during the time, it was just, man, the Black community as a whole was just looking for one. Like, yo, this is one. Finally, somebody's beating the system. That's what it was with OJ. Like, nobody actually thought OJ didn't do it, to be honest with you, from my speaking to Black people. But there's a whole industry on that. What's the other Black people who just turned their back? Bill Cosby to a point. Okay, like, Bill Cosby is a tricky one. Because Bill Cosby did do a lot of philanthropy in the Black community. However, his philanthropy was always predicated on high morals. Yet he's the guy drugging women. Right. Serial rapist. But you're going to tell me to pull my pants up? Like, seriously, as a hip hop guy, white folks always use Bill Cosby as a counterpoint. See, the Dr. Bill Cosby said that you should be doing blah, 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 blah. Like, seriously. That was always thrown in my face. Actually, my friend Jared did that. He's a He's a preacher in Tennessee. And he's like, yo, Dr. Cosby said you shouldn't cuss. Meanwhile, Dr. Cosby, a.k.a. Peel Cosby, out here date raping. And honestly, this becomes very mentally taxing because there's a subsection of Black America that just think white ice is colder. And we get tired of that. Super tired of that because people generally don't come to the Black, people don't come back to the Black community until they're in trouble. So that's the issue I have with Stacey Dash. If you're really sorry about what you said and what you did and how you was portrayed, man, go out there and put in some work. Let me see some stuff. Like, this apology, all right, cool. But I'm going to need you, to work on fixing what you broke. That's the thing with Stacey Dash. I'm thinking, like, look, she must be trying to peddle something and she needs some help. Because it was always a shelf life on Trumpism. Well, not Trumpism, but for Black people, it was always a shelf life. Once Donald Trump left, yeah, you had to know that they was going to kick you out of the fold, bro. Or, hey, maybe you can double down like all the Black conservatives on YouTube. There's a market out there of Black people just spitting out stupid stuff. I'm talking to you, Officer Tatum. You're an idiot. Yo, what's up, DJ L. Spade, Common Knowledge Podcast. If you like my podcast, maybe you'll like my music too. I humbly ask that you go listen to my music on Spotify, Apple Music, or other music streaming service providers. Thank you. Yo, Black police officer got fired because he used the N-word. Yeah, a Black police officer in Florida was fired for using the N-word. This was a story my homie Envying sent me. And I was like, what? Like, why did they fire him? Now, initially, the information I got on this was that this Black police officer, Delvin White. Hey, you know something? Real quick, most of the people I know with the last name White are Black. And most of the people I know with the last name Black are white. Something I noticed, man. So I went to the CNN, to read the report and see like what's going on. So I shall read you a portion of this CNN story. A Black police officer in Florida was fired this week after footage from his body camera showed him using the N-word during a personal phone call and while making an arrest last November. Like, I'm not going to lie. Off top, they put the most incendiary part first. You should have put the last part first. Like, body cam showed him using the N-word during a personal phone call. Doesn't hold as much weight as using the N-word while making an arrest last November. Just saying. Delvin White, an 8-year veteran of the Tampa Police Department, was a school resource officer at Middleton High School in Tampa. He was fired Tuesday for violating the city's policy that prohibits discriminatory conduct, according to a statement from the city. Body cam footage released by the department shows White. First, let me say, yeah. Props on this guy for leaving his body cam on. A lot of folks don't leave their body cam on. Like, seriously, I get tired of reading about, like, incidents with the public and cops. And look, cops have a difficult job, but I feel like if you don't have your body cam on, yeah, whatever the public says, you did it. Have your body cam on. Anyway, body cam footage released by the department shows White driving around in a parking lot, chatting with people, and saying goodbye after a high school football game on November 13th. He first used the word while talking to himself, according to the footage. So the man just talking to himself using the N-word. I mean, hey, I can see that. Like, dead ass. Like, you in the car? Like, look, man, I'm not surprised that this officer was using the N-word. And he's Black. Because I know some of you white folks using the N-word alone, too. If you're in the car alone, listen to that rap song, yeah, I know. You're dropping the N-ball. I know for a fact that you're doing that. You're not self-editing yourself. Not all of you. Maybe some of you are self-editing yourself, but a lot of y'all are just letting that jump fly. So I'm not surprised that the homie Delvin White is out here letting the N-word fly by himself. Actually, I want to know, like, was he listening to music? Or was he just talking to himself? Like, yeah, bro, F N-word up tomorrow. Like, I would love to know the context of him just talking to himself and just dropping the N-bomb. Like, seriously. A few minutes later, White makes a personal call to a woman. And the two begin discussing dinner plans before talking about the difficulties in their jobs. Talking about their jobs, man. When keeping it real goes wrong. This is what Delvin White said. Every day that I go to work and not one kid gets shot or stabbed, that means I've done my job. And that's a lot of responsibility. You don't have all that responsibility, White says, explaining to the other person's job before speaking about his own. Well, you know, some will say you have more responsibility. You manage a multi-million-dollar property, he says. Hey, yo, all right, you know how to pick them there, Devin. Yeah, dealing with that person with multi-million-dollar property, yay. All right, or some ghetto N-word. Don't get shot or stabbed. I don't know. But today, mama, though, they worth $1 million. I don't even get this conversation. This conversation made no sense to me, but he dropped the N-word in that conversation. You know, I guess you have to hear what the other person said to get that part. During an investigation, White told his supervisor that he used the N-word while making an arrest for trespassing on November the 30th. According to the city statement, police also released body cam footage of the arrest. Like, yo, that's what you really should be highlighting. Like, when I first heard about this story, I thought that, like, a police officer was in his car, used the N-word talking to himself, and used the N-word on the phone, and it was caught on body cam, and they fired him. That's kind of a weak reason to fire anybody. Like, even the white police officer, if he's alone in the car, that's a weak reason. But yo, when I first heard this, I was kind of battling it myself. Like, yo, this ain't that big of a deal. But then I'm like, hell yeah, it's a big ass deal. Even for a Delvin White. Like, yo, you can't be saying whatever you want on the clock. I don't give a damn where you work at. Like, you can be working at Subway. If you on the clock dealing with customers and you drop the N-bomb, you know, that's going to be an issue. Now, if you're doing it off the clock, on break, I mean, some wiggle room and some latitude, you know, some levity we can give to the situation. But yeah, man, you can't be dropping the N-word on the clock while you're working. So I was just thinking, what if it was a white police officer alone in the car dropping the N-bomb? That could be used to say, oh, well, look at this man's mental state when he's alone. Of course, context does matter. If he was saying the N-word while rapping, it makes a difference than him talking about, like, going to a possible khaki white supremacist meeting. You know what I'm saying? But if we heard that alone, we definitely would say something. And we kind of got to keep the same standards, I'm guessing. But you can't be using the N-word while you're making an arrest. And that is a good enough reason to get fired. Because if a white police officer drops the N-bomb while making an arrest, it's going to be an issue. So, yes. Dev, I'm sorry, man. You got to get fired for that. Because there is a level of black privilege that comes with saying the N-word. Yes, as being a member, a card-carrying member of the black community, which there's a lot of leeway in that, I can say the N-word. I personally do not say the N-word. And it's a choice. Because I'm the person who scolds other people outside of the black race for saying the N-word. So if I'm going to be that guy, I can't use the N-word either. It just... For continuity's sake, it just works better. It plays better if I don't say it. So I don't say the N-word. Even like amongst my black friends, I don't drop the N-bomb. I just leave it alone. So as a black person, you already know, bro, you can't be dropping the N-bomb at work. When I go teach kids in Japan, I can't be like, yeah, you little N-words, what's going on? That's not part of my English lesson. If a teacher said, yo, drop the N-bomb, you'd be like, yo, what's wrong with this guy? Black or white. So, yeah, Devin should be punished for that. Should it be like losing this job? Honestly, maybe. Because once again, if a white officer dropped the N-bomb on his job while doing that, yeah, he should be fired. And I think that's what the whole thing is, right? You can't look at this and say, yo, wow, they wilding. But no, I actually applaud this decision from the Tampa Bay Police Department, dude. Dude was on the clock dropping the N-bomb and, yo, you can't have that. You can't. Like, do that on your own time, my guy. You know? And if anybody is, like, saying, this is a problem with cancel culture, blah, blah, blah. You know what? I'm not even going to get into that, because if you think that, you're stupid. You know what I'm saying? But, no, I definitely applaud this move. Sucks for the homie Devin White, but it seems like they ride to get him reinstated. And, look, man, police unions tend to be strong as hell, bro. Like, if he's in a union, I'm pretty sure they'll have him back on the force pretty soon, dog. Now, my question to anybody listening to this podcast, anybody who read the story is, why did the race of the cop matter? Like, seriously, ask yourself. Why did we need to know the race of the police officer? Was it needed? All they had to say was, yo, police officer was using the N-word. Got fired. That's it, man. Case closed. Would have been easy. However, you brung up the race issue. Things got a little too complicated, right? Which is my way of saying is race always matters. Don't let nobody tell you it doesn't. It's always a racial issue. Just pointing that out to you guys. Yo, DJ L. Spade, Common Knowledge Podcast. If you like my Common Knowledge Podcast, yo, think about checking out my music show on YouTube, Tokyo Stash and Spade. Me and my Uncle Stash break down music from all different genres, including punk, rock, and hip-hop. So, yo, if you like this podcast, check me out. It's Tokyo Stash and Spade on YouTube. Tokyo Stash and Spade. Appreciate it. Yeah, real quick, every once in a while, you see like a news story that doesn't really get reported, but it makes all the world of difference. And I think we should start highlighting those. In Oregon, they decriminalize all drugs, bro. Like everything is decriminalized, which is fucking awesome, dude. This should be the standard everywhere in the United States of America. If you catch somebody with meth, crack, opioids, or something like that, don't put them folks in jail, man. You should literally try to get them folks the help they need and deserve, because it's not a criminal issue, it's a health issue. A lot of these folks are seriously addicted to these drugs and they want to get off. They can't. I mean, that's addiction, dude. You can't like help it. It's a sickness. It's a disease. Like, most addicts don't want to be addicts either. I know a few addicts, man, like who are just battling day by day with substance abuse. Some heavy stuff like meth. And they don't want to be on it, man. They don't. It's just they keep slipping. Like they just one bad day away from slipping. That being the case, if they do slip, I want them to get help. I don't want them to be in jail. It's one case of this lady in Oregon. She was saying like this really helped. She was having a bad day. She was self-medicating and she got caught and got put in jail for 6 years for one bad day. Like before that, she was working hard 40 hours a week, doing what she had to do, making rent. Just had a bad day looking for that self-medication, much like people who drink alcohol do, right? Because alcohol is a drug. We like to pretend like it's not. But for some arbitrary reason, that drug is legal. Everything else isn't. But that point aside, she got caught that one bad day and spent 6 years in jail for that, dude. And that don't seem right. Also, once again, I said I wasn't trying to make this a black episode, but it just turned out that way. As a black man, decriminalizing all drugs is the first step to breaking down the problem we have with mass incarceration, right? Like, seriously, if you just take away all the people arrested in America for drug possession, I'm not talking about like with the intent to sell, but drug possession, just got caught with it, like doing that, you could decrease mass incarceration by 16%, dude. And as a black guy, look at the numbers, man. Black folks are arrested more than white people for similar crimes. So yeah, if you decriminalize drugs, man, that's a lot less black people being arrested. So I'm all in favor for that. Like, seriously. And it's drug possession, guys. It's not distributing drugs. They decriminalize people who, like, caught with drugs. So, seriously, if I see somebody as a police officer with a whole bag of heroin, right, getting ready to milk that junk down and inject it, I'm going to try to find that person some help. However, what can a police officer do besides arrest people? Like, we put so much on police officers, really. Like, it's really unfair, the amount of work we put on police officers. And the only thing police officers can really do and are trained to do is arrest people, shoot them. I mean, that's pretty much the run-of-the-mill police training, you know? You expect police officers to be drug counselors, mediators, negotiators, and that's not in their training, man. Not to mention, there's a difference between a young police officer and an old police officer. Look, man, like, having a young police officer at the age of 22 with a gun and a badge and some kind of sense of authority is always going to be like a crapshoot, dude, because 23-year-olds like to lord power over people because they can sometimes. So, yeah, you get to thinking you're a little bit bigger than what you are. Your patience not there. Your balls just drop. So, yeah, decriminalizing this in Oregon is a good step because that's, like, less interaction the police has to do. Now the police are not looking for that, because if you look at most people who are, like, locked up for drug possession, it ain't, like, federal prisons. It's, like, really local prisons because they know where to go. Like, most local police officers know, like, where the drugs are at, because half of them doing drugs, too, if you don't know the dirty little secret. Like, that's why I was always tripping about, like, marijuana use when police was locking up people back in the day in my hood. I'm like, dude, you just bought a bag. Like, I just saw you, man. Yes, officer, I just saw you buy a bag for my boy. But they was, you know, arrested because they knew what it's at. Basically, what I'm saying is most of your people who are locked up for possession are on a local level. But now they don't have to look for that. They won't go to that area looking for people with possession, you know? So it's a good thing. And I just wanted to highlight that, man. Oregon taking a good step now. We can get the rest of the United States to do the same thing. It'd be a damn good idea. Seriously. Decriminalize all this stuff. Actually, you want to be honest. Like, everything. Decriminalize it all. Seriously. But anyway, that's the Common Knowledge Podcast. Just a man doing the best he can with what he got. Be sure to listen to my music on any DSP, Spotify, Apple Music, Deezer. It's all there. Just look up DJ L Spade. Also, check out my show with Uncle Stash, the Tokyo Stash and Spade Show on YouTube. And a new podcast coming out with my homie, Mega Robinson. Don't have a name for it yet, but it'll be out soon. I'll let you guys know about that. Y'all be safe. I'm out.